Well, let's turn our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 11. And this morning we are going to look at our memory verses for the month of June. And we'll enjoy learning what God has for us from these verses today. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. Thank you for being here this morning. I trust you have a Bible with you. We're going to look at a number of verses today. So please follow with me in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. Notice the Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow in prayer this morning, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord, to speak to us through your holy word. And Lord, to minister to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you for this year of focusing on the life of faith that we have. Lord, we pray that you would revive us again. Help us, dear Lord, to see our unbelief. Help us, dear Lord, to be encouraged to trust in you. And Lord, I pray that no matter what the need is in our lives this morning, Father, you would speak to us according to our greatest need. And Lord, you would be glorified in our midst through the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher this morning. Lord, I do pray that he would lead and guide as you see fit. And Father, you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Lord, you would speak forth thy truth so that we as a people might live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, an amazing statement. The Bible says, "These all died in faith." Now, there are many ways that a person can die. In his book, The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, the author accounts of the triumphant words of those who were believers upon their death, and then accounts also for the tragedy of the lost and the last words that they spoke before they died. One of the accounts that is given in this book, The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, was the account of Voltaire. Voltaire was a noted French atheist and one of the most talented writers of his time. And Voltaire, as you may know, used his pen to oppose and try to destroy Christianity the best that he could. He once boasted this. He said, "In 20 years, Christianity will be no more." He said, "I will destroy single-handedly the edifice it took 12 disciples to build up." When he was on his deathbed, his condition, that is his attitude, had become so frightening that even his atheist friends were afraid to surround or approach his bedside. Voltaire's personal doctor, waiting up with him at the moment of his death, said that he cried out desperately, "I am abandoned by God and man." And he said to his personal physician, he said, "Give me 6 months to live and I will give you half of what I am worth." The doctor said to Voltaire, he said, "You don't even have 6 weeks to live." And in anger, he then replied, "Then I shall go to hell and you will go with me." Those are words from the lips of a so-called atheist at the point of his death. And with his very last breath, Voltaire cried out to the one he did not even believe existed. So the one that he did not believe was the Christ, the Messiah. With his last breath, he said, "O Christ, Jesus Christ." That was his last words as he closed his eyes and stepped into eternity to face what would be before him. Shortly after his death, the very house in which he printed his foul literature against Christianity became the home of the Geneva Bible Society. Voltaire's death was a death of an angry man, a death of an unbelieving man. And there are many ways in which a person can die. Would you agree with me this morning that some people die angrily? They die in anger. They die blaming perhaps God for what he has or has not done for them. They die in anger towards perhaps people that they feel have let them down. Some people die in anger and frustration. Some people are so hard to be around at their last moments that even family keep their distance. There are many ways to die. Some people die in sorrow, overwhelmed at the sorrow of finally realizing that their life is drawing to an end. You know, the Bible tells us, does it not, that godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. What does that mean? When we come to a point of realizing that we have sinned against God and we're sorrowful for our sins, that sorrow, that understanding of offending a holy God brings us to the point of repentance. That's not to be sorrowed for. We're not to feel bad about sorrowing over sin because God wants to bring us to repentance. But the verse goes on to say, but the sorrow of the world bringeth death. And even from my own experience, I've seen people in their last moments not sorrowing over their sin before a holy God, but sorrowing over the life that they're about to lose. Perhaps you've seen that before. Perhaps you've seen people about to step into eternity in anguish and sorrow and grief over the fact that their years have come to an end. Sorrowing over the fact that they're about to lose their life. Sorrowing over their own self-pity. Some die in sorrow. Some die in anger. Some die with regret. Some die wishing that they would have found out more about God, but it was too late. You know, in one point of research that I found out recently, that in the palliative care system, there were a group of nurses that agreed and admitted to the greater proportion of men who passed away in their care, willingly and freely admitted their mistake of putting too much time in their life to the area of work. And they regretted living for work, living for money. In the last days of their lives, they regretted and told the nurses and let them know that I shouldn't have lived for money. Many people die regretful for the lives that they lived. But our text this morning, is in fact an encouraging text because the Bible tells us there is yet another way to die. Amen? The Bible says, notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, these all died in, what's the next word? Faith. What an amazing statement. Notice the Bible does not say that these all died in wealth, does it? No, it doesn't say these all died with a grand and spectacular funeral. The Bible does not say that these all died with popularity. No, the Bible says these all died in faith. Why? Because isn't that the most important thing? Isn't that the only thing that you and I can take with us into eternity? Our faith. These all died in faith. And as we read through chapter 11 and we're given descriptions of those who live by faith, suddenly God sees fit to add these verses in between to remind us that this was not just a flash in the pan when people live by faith in the list that we're given. No, these ones in fact died in faith. These people live by faith. And God wants us to take some time this morning to study these verses. Because how they died revealed how they lived. The title of the message this morning is The Faith of All These. What does God have for us to learn about the faith of all these? Well, notice first of all this morning, they had faith in death. They had faith in death. The Bible says these all died in faith. And friends, that's not to be taken lightly. That means that these ones did not die in anger. That means that these ones did not die in fear of impending doom. Look, when they closed their eyes, they were not afraid of never opening their eyes and seeing the light again. The Bible tells us that the lost will never see the light. That the moment they close their eyes to the light of this world, they will no longer see light anymore. These ones were not afraid of the darkness because they knew by their faith that they would open their eyes and they would see the light of God for eternity. You see, these all died in faith. They had faith in death. That's the first truth that God brings us to in verse number 13. You see, their faith was not just founded on a glimmer of hope or just a moment. In fact, their faith lasted for all their lives. It was founded upon the truth of God. Their faith started at a point in their lives, but then it grew and then it flourished and then it matured. And when they died, they did not die in despair. They died in victory. And God wants us to know this morning. These all died in faith. What an amazing testimony. May I ask you the question this morning? As serious and as sober as it may be, we must ask this question. If you died today, how would you pass into eternity? Friend, would you die in fear? Would you die in anger? Would you die in regret? Or would you die in faith? You see, these all died in faith. As we look at these verses, we need to ask the question, what did they have or where did they place their faith in? What does it mean to die in faith? What does it mean to die victoriously? Well, notice with me, verse 13 gives us a clue. The verse goes on to say, not having received the promises, but having, notice what it says, seen them afar off. You see, their faith was not just in their faith. It wasn't just a feeling or a wishful hope. No, their faith was grounded in the promises of the Word of God. Now, what promises were they given? Where was their faith grounded? And what was the object of their faith? Because after all, they all died in faith. And we are, in fact, talking about Old Testament believers this morning. What was their faith grounded on? Well, on the promises of God. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. The Bible tells us they did not see the fulfillment of God's promises in their lifetime, but they were given the promises of God and they believed that they will happen in the future to come. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. We might ask the question this morning, what promises then did they have faith in? To die in faith. Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the record of the fall. We see Adam and Eve sin against God and the entrance of sin into the world. But church family, let me encourage you, the very moment after mankind had sinned against God, God gave His promise and declared His promise to mankind that He will provide a Savior, that He will provide a Redeemer. Notice the first mention of God's promise of Christ in verse 15. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity or opposition between thee and the woman." He's speaking to Satan. "And between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, here we find God's declaration of the good news, the Messiah to come, the seed of the woman. The Bible tells us that there will be enmity between Satan and the seed of the woman, that there will be a Messiah to come, the opposer of the devil, the one who would destroy the works of the devil, the one who would conquer sin and death and hell. This was the first mention of the promised Messiah, the seed of the woman. Here we see God's good news. You see, from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, God's promises were already declared. That's why in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read and we start with Abel. Remember, Abel was to bring a lamb sacrifice of the firstlings of the flock, a lamb free of blemish, free of spot or wrinkle, a pure, clean lamb. Why? Because that sacrifice pictured the work of the Messiah to come. Don't miss it this morning, church family. These Old Testament believers did not just have a wishful faith, or they weren't saved by good works. No, their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. Their faith was in Christ. How do we know that? Well, if you turn with me to Hebrews 11 once again, what do we see? We see by faith Enoch. We see by faith Abel. We see by faith Abraham. Friends, their faith was no different to ours. Yes, they did not have as much revealed to them than we do, but their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith was in the Messiah and His work upon the cross to pay for their sins to come. Remember, notice verse 13, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Notice in the book of Acts. Let's look at a few verses this morning. How were these able to die in faith? Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. Notice what Stephen, the first martyr of the New Testament church, notice what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 in his dying message. Thank you for turning with me there. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. Notice this. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Here we see that God did not just speak to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country. Here we see the truth of the matter, that God not only spoke to Abraham, but God appeared unto Abraham. Now, how did He appear? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said that no man hath seen the Father at any time. Is that correct? And you can speak to me this morning. Did not the Lord Jesus say, no man hath seen the Father at any time, except the Son? And whosoever hath seen the Son hath seen the Father. Who did Abraham see? Friends, it was the pre-incarnate Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ before He was born of a virgin upon the earth. Throughout the Old Testament, Jesus Christ appeared to the Old Testament saints of old. Time and time again, He appeared. You see, the believers of the Old Testament had faith in death. Why? Because they had put their faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation. They had put their faith in Christ as their personal Savior. They knew that the Messiah was going to come. They knew that the Messiah would pay for their sins. They knew that salvation was by grace alone. Every time the lamb sacrifice was offered to God, it was a reminder to God's people that except our sins are atoned for by sacrifice, we cannot be forgiven. Amen. Abel knew that. The promise was given in the Garden of Eden. Abraham saw God. He appeared to Abraham. Notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Sometimes we get the wrong idea that the Old Testament believers had faith in something else, or some unfortunately teach that the Old Testament believers were saved by good works, and that's not true at all. Notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's begin in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So those who are saved by faith in the church age, in this day, are the children of Abraham. Why? Because we're saved the very same way. By faith in the Messiah, by faith in Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto whom? Unto Abraham. You see, when God declared to Abraham, Abraham, you will have a son, it wasn't just limited to Isaac. He said that through Isaac, notice in verse 8, in thee all nations shall be blessed. What was that blessing? It was the blessing of the Messiah to come. It was the blessing that through the line of the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ would come forth as the Messiah. Friends, the point is this morning that their faith was in Jesus Christ. Their faith was in the Messiah. He is the object of their faith and He is the object of our faith. And let me say this morning, there is no faith outside of Jesus Christ. There is no faith. How did these ones die in faith? It's because they put their faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, for their salvation. They knew where they were going when they died. When they breathed their last breath, they were not fearful. When they breathed their last breath, they were not wondering whether their sins are forgiven. No, they knew that their sins were covered by the blood, by the sacrifice to come once and for all. And they had been forgiven by the grace of God based upon the promises that they had not experienced in their lifetime, but that they trusted. Is that not what the Bible says in Hebrews 13? That they believed in and trusted, having seen them afar off. You see, these were saved believers. And friends, there is no such thing as faith outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people use the word faith today incorrectly. Many people say, look, I've got faith that everything will turn out well. Well, what is that? What are people trying to say? Well, it's just another way of saying, I hope everything will turn out. I hope everything will turn out. But that's just a blind leap in the dark. That's just wishful thinking. It's not a faith with assurance. It's not a faith with a foundation. But the Bible tells us faith in Jesus Christ is a faith that is 100% sure. You see, the Bible tells us this morning the same as what the Old Testament saints had been told, that there would be a Messiah to come. Yes, that they were not given every detail that we know today. They were not given every view of the truth. In fact, they saw the promises to come through what God allowed them to see, but what they understood was enough for their salvation. But we see things much clearer because Christ has already come. Amen. We have the Word of God. And therefore, in fact, we must believe by faith what Christ has done. You see, the Bible tells us Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. There on that old rugged cross, friends, He did not just die for the sins of mankind. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And then on that tree, the Bible tells us that God judged His only begotten Son. And upon that tree, Christ took upon Himself the sins of mankind. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead for our justification. What does that mean? That if you and I repent of our sins, and we, by faith, turn to Jesus Christ and call out to Him for salvation once and for all, believing that He is the Christ, believing that He paid for our sins, believing that He's able to save. If we call out to Him for salvation, the Bible says, instantly, permanently, wonderfully, we are forgiven once and for all, forever. Romans chapter 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, once we are saved, we can never lose our salvation because He is the one that saves us. He is the one that keeps us saved. It is by His blood that we are saved. The question is this morning, if you died today, how will you die? How would you spend your last moments? Will you die in faith or will you die in fear? Has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sins and you personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? I remember growing up, and I remember I was a religious person who prayed every day. I prayed all the time. I said, Lord, please take me to heaven. I prayed to Mary. I said, please take me to heaven. But one day I realized what I was doing. I was just praying. I'd never put my full trust and faith in Christ alone for salvation. I never believed that He could save me once and for all. I never believed in the gospel. I never believed like the Old Testament saints. I was never persuaded that the payment of Christ has been fulfilled and I can be forgiven once and for all. He paid once and for all. Therefore, our sins are forgiven once and for all. I was trusting in my own good works. I was trusting in my own prayers. But I never once trusted in Christ alone for salvation, full and free. I remember walking to work one day and I saw a bunch of flowers next to the road and it shocked me, it shook me because that's the road I cross every day and someone had been hit and run by a driver who did not stop and I realized in that moment that could have been me. And I remember fearing death. If I died right then, I would have died in fear. I had no assurance of where I was going. Every time I went to the doctor's office, I was afraid. I wouldn't show it on the outside. But my heart was beating. What would he find? What would the test results be? What might happen? Could this be the end? And the Bible says, in fact, that all our life we are subject to bondage by sin because of the fear of death. Amen. Friend, would you die in fear today if this day was the last day? Or would you die in faith? Are you 100% sure if you breathe your last breath this morning that you would step into the loving arms of Jesus Christ? Because in this life, you've received Him personally as your Savior. Do you have that assurance? You see, these believers of old, all, every single one of them, died in faith. It's because their faith was founded on the person and work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, where is your faith this morning? Is it upon Jesus Christ? Or is it upon a religious life? The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no way you and I can do anything good to get to heaven. There is no way you and I can earn our way to heaven. Good works is simply the result of someone who's trusted Christ by faith and wants to live to God to please Him. Good works never gets us to heaven. As I often say to the religious, as I once was, if we could do anything good to get to heaven, then Jesus Christ did not have to come to die on the cross. No, His payment is the only way we can be saved. By His blood alone, by His shed blood, have you trusted in the promises of God in salvation? If you have a doubt this morning, let me encourage you not to leave without making sure. Let me encourage you to find someone to sit down and talk with. I'd be happy to sit down with you and show you from the Bible how you can accept the gift of God once and for all and experience God's forgiveness and enjoy that one day you will not have to die in anger, in fear, in regret. But like these of old, you can die in faith. What an amazing set of verses. Amazing set of verses. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says that these all died in faith. Their faith was in the promise of the Messiah. Our faith needs to be in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I trust that you're here this morning and you've made that commitment. And if you had church family, let me encourage you to rejoice. Rejoice that we can die in faith. Amen. Rejoice that we can die rejoicing. What a supernatural, amazing change that takes place at the moment of our salvation. We are taken out of the veil of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the kingdom of light. No longer do we fear death and breathing life's last breath, but we look forward to the moment that we step into eternity with our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful supernatural change. And friends, if that's foreign to you this morning, let me encourage you. You must be saved today. You must be born again. They had faith in death. Come back with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Notice verse 13. They had faith in death. These all died in faith. Now, after they had put their faith in Christ for salvation, after their faith was founded in the God of grace for their forgiveness, notice they not only had faith in the promises of the Messiah, but they also lived by faith. You see, these believers died in faith because they lived by faith. Living by faith is not what saves us, but it's the evidence of someone who is saved. The Bible tells us in verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Notice they had faith in life. They had faith in death, yes, but they had faith in life. They received the promises of God, and that went beyond the promise of the Messiah. They received God's other promises. And for them, they did not see many of those promises fulfilled in their lifetimes, but they saw them afar off. And if you and I are to be encouraged in God's Word this morning, we need to be careful to have faith in the promises of God. We need to have faith like these Old Testament believers that God wants to encourage us with, to have faith not just in those events or those promises that we can claim in this lifetime, but have faith in the promises God gives us of events that will take place in the future. Well, what does God tell us in summary? Well, the Bible tells us the next event in God's prophetic calendar is the catching up of the believers, the rapture. The Bible tells us that the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the trump of God, and with the voice of the archangel. And at that moment that Christ comes in the clouds, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we, those who have trusted Christ as Savior, then we which are alive on the earth and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friends, that is a future promise of God. And when will we see it? Well, we'll see it when we see it. Amen? We'll see it when we hear His voice. We'll see it when we're caught up in the air. But God wants us to trust in His future promises. That's a part of living by faith. Following the rapture, the Bible tells us that we will all stand as Christians before the judgment seat of Christ. And God brings us before that judgment seat, not to judge our sins, because they've already been dealt with on the cross. God brings us before that judgment seat in order to reward us for our life's work. Friends, God will hold us accountable with how we've lived our lives. Have we lived it for God or have we lived it for ourselves? And we will have to give an account. And God's desire is for us to be rewarded. But friends, that is a future promise of God. Let me ask you this morning, are we really as Christians living in the light of God's future promises? Have we seen God's promises in His Word like these believers of old, afar off? Not having received them as yet, but having seen them afar off. Are we living a life of faith? Do we truly believe that after the rapture, and after you and I are taken up off this earth, that there are 7 years of judgment upon the earth? Do we really believe what the book of the Revelation teaches us? That 7 years of catastrophic judgment will descend upon this earth as God pours His wrath out upon unbelieving mankind. As God turns the heart of the nation of Israel to Himself. Do we really believe that's going to happen? Friends, if we really believed in the tribulation period to come, you and I would be more passionate witnesses today, would we not? You see, it's important to live out the future promises of God. It's important to rejoice in them, because the Bible says after 7 years, Christ will come. He will establish His 1,000-year reign upon the earth. And then the Bible says after that 1,000-year reign of Christ, literally, visibly, physically upon the earth, then the eternity will begin. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And we will dwell with the Lord forever in a city not made with hands, but made by God. You see, God's future promises are important. And they are promises that you and I cannot see. But that's what it means to live by faith, would you agree? God says that they had faith in His future promises, having seen them from afar off. And let me say this, would you agree? How much more should we live by faith when we have the complete Word of God in our hands? Friends, you've got every promise of God that He wants us to know. Right here in your two hands. How are you and I living? Notice verse number 13. Having seen them afar off, notice next, and were persuaded of them. Now that's an encouraging statement. Do you know what that means this morning, brethren? That these believers needed some persuasion. What does that mean? There were times in their lives where they doubted. There were times in their lives where they did not live by faith, but they chose to allow God to persuade them that His promises are true. Notice with me a quick example in the book of Romans. Please turn with me there to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. As we look at how these ones live by faith, they were persuaded of His promises. Persuaded of them. Romans chapter 4. Notice verse 19. The Bible speaks about the faith of Abraham. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So here's reality. God says to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham says to God, God, I'm 100 years old. Physically and in reality, his body was dead. He knew that. He was beyond the age of childbearing, and so was Sarah. The Bible says that her womb was dead. She could no longer have any children. If she was ever going to have children, it would have happened in the past. She was not only barren, but now she was infertile. She could not have any children. She was past that age. And that's where they were. And they had to be persuaded. Why? Because here's the problem. And here's the battle of faith that you and I face every day. We see the reality of what we see around us, but then on the other hand, God cannot lie. Is that correct? God cannot lie, but we can see what we can see. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, notice what Abraham did in verse 20. Let's read it together on 2. Romans 4, verse 20, 1, 2. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice verse 21. And being fully, what's the next word?
Persuaded.
That what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, Abraham realized, look, physically, I can't see how this will happen, but God cannot lie. And if God says it, it is true. And if God says it, I must believe it. And therefore, I need to make a choice. Will I be fully persuaded and live out a life of faith, or will I live in unbelief? And you see, Abraham made a choice. He made a choice not to stagger at the promise of God. He made a choice not to look at the promises of God through unbelief, but he gave glory to God, being strong in faith, being fully persuaded that he which had promised was able also to perform. And church family, that is the life of faith that you and I have been called to live. Faith in the promises of God. You see, every day it's a battle, is it not? Would you agree? To live by faith. Why? Because there's something within that tells us, look, I can't see how this can happen. I'm in a hopeless situation. It's hopeless in my home right now. It's hopeless in my marriage. I'm a hopeless witness for the Lord. I can't tell anyone about Jesus Christ. And yet God comes to us in His Word and He presents to us His precious promises. And what does He call us to do? He calls us to be persuaded that nothing is impossible with God. That nothing is impossible when God has given us His promise. Nothing is impossible in the will of God. We just simply need to claim His promises and live by faith and allow God to do the supernatural in our lives. You see, these ones died in faith, but they also lived by faith. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, they were persuaded. They were persuaded of God's promises. And friends, every day God calls us to spend time in His Word and to take Him at His Word. That's what it means to live by faith. Taking God at His Word. Are we really living by faith? Do we take God at His Word? Notice not only that they were persuaded, but next in verse 13 of Hebrews 11, they embrace them. Now, when you embrace someone, what are you doing? A hug. If you embrace someone, what are you doing? You are accepting them. You are welcoming them. You are showing them that you love and care for them, and there is a loving acceptance. And that's how these believers lived their life. When God gave them a promise, what did they do? They embraced that promise in the love of God. They said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you. I don't believe my feelings and my fears. I believe you are God and what you say is true and you cannot lie." And they embraced his promises. They embraced the promises of God. Now, how do we know whether we are living a life of faith? How do we know whether we are embracing the promises of God? How do we know that we are pleasing God by living a life of faith? How can we know that? Perhaps we're sitting here thinking, well, I think I embrace his promises. I believe I do, and I think I have. How do we really know? Well, here's the litmus test, if you will, given to us in verse 13. How do we know if we are living by faith? Notice the end of the verse. "And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You see, these ones gave evidence of embracing the promises of God by faith because of how they lived. Would you agree? And God gives us some short detail here about how they lived to help us to realize whether we are living by faith or not. These ones confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What does that mean? Well, the word strangers means to be an alien, a foreigner, one whose home is not here, but they are traveling to their home. The word pilgrim clarifies that they saw themselves as strangers passing through a strange land onto a home that they were looking forward to going to. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. That's how we know they lived by faith. That's how we know that their faith was genuine. The question is, are we living by faith? Are we daily embracing the promises of God? Now think of Abraham for a moment. And I'm watching the time. Think of Abraham for a moment. Abraham, get thee out of thy country, that great city that he lived in. Abraham was a wealthy man, was he not? Yes, he was. Abraham gave up everything to follow God. But where did God lead him to? God led him into the desert. Can you picture with me Abraham digging those pentegs in every night, setting up that tent, that temporary dwelling? He had moved from a life in the city to a life in tents. Now, some of us here this morning would say, "Praise the Lord, I'd love to live that way." But for Abraham, it wasn't a glamorous life. He was a pilgrim. He was a stranger in a strange land. Oftentimes, Abraham would set up his camp near a city, perhaps for the safety that the city provided. And maybe you can picture with me this morning how he pegged in his pegs and set up his tent. And maybe he heard the laughter of people enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season in that city. Maybe he could see those who lived in their houses or in their cottages in that walled city. And he imagined to himself the life that they were living. But Abraham wasn't envious. Why? Because every night, Abraham opened the tent flap. And Abraham looked up to the stars of heaven. And friends, when he looked up by faith, he did not see just the stars before him. But the Bible said, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He did not live for this present world. He did not live for the pleasures of this world. No, he looked to God and he lived for God and he was looking forward to a place which hath foundations. Amen. My friends, the Bible tells us in this place, in this world, we have no continuing city. These believers lived by faith. Why? Because they were living for heaven. They weren't living for this world. How do we know whether we have embraced the promises of God? Here's the question. Do we confess that we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth? Or are we living for the world? That's how we know whether we're living by faith. Are we living for the world or are we living by faith? That's the litmus test, friends. That's how we know. Unfortunately, many times as Christians, we struggle, don't we, in the Christian life? Because we want to please God, but at the same time, we want to please the world. Isn't that true? Teenagers, you can talk to me this morning. Yes, we want to please God. There's that desire He puts in us at salvation, but suddenly there's the world. And there's the popularity the world has to offer. There's the money that the world has to offer. There's the entertainment the world has to offer. And so there's these two opposing sides. But we must be persuaded to live by faith, that God's promises are true, that when we die we can take nothing with us, and that all wicked world will be judged and will pass away, and the only things that will be done for eternity, that is the only things that will last. But are we living for the world? Are we living out a life of fear in the world? To be honest, adults, many times we live a life of fear and not faith. We worry about the level of our bank account. And we think to ourselves, look, today you can't even trust banks. Tomorrow the banks may all fall and crumble in Australia. Anything can happen. You can't even trust a bank today. So oftentimes we live in fear. What's going to happen to my future? What's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my children? And yet God has given us exceeding precious promises in His Word to remind us that He will always take care of us. Is that right? Is that not true? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, financial areas, issues, will be taken care of. All these things shall be added unto you. I'll take care of you. You just follow me, the Lord says. But so often we live in fear. We live in fear. And so therefore, we live according to the world's mold. We desire the world's popularity. We desire the world's acceptance. We're not willing to step out by faith and be different, to be an alien, to be a foreigner and a stranger, if you will, because maybe someone won't like us at work. Maybe someone won't like us in our family. Maybe someone won't like us in our neighborhood. So often we live in fear. The Bible reminds us this morning, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are pilgrims and strangers, friends, passing through to a heavenly home. But is that how you and I choose to live? Now, if we're endeavoring to, then we are walking the path of faith. But friends, if we're living for the world, we are not living by faith. We are living for our flesh. Moses had this testimony that he esteemed the reproach of Christ. There's another point of truth. He knew who the Messiah was, Moses. Don't doubt that all he had is little signs and symbols and this obscure idea of who Christ is. No, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures and the treasures of this world, than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he knew what was to come. And friends, if you and I know what is to come, and we live in light of the promises of God's Word, and we embrace His promises every day, we can live by faith. Amen. We can live by faith. You see, these ones, having seen God's promises afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them. How do we know? Because they lived as pilgrims and strangers. Now, God provided for Abraham. God will provide for you. He hasn't called you to go tempting, by the way. Okay, that was specific for Abraham. But some of us are digging our pegs a little bit too deep in this world, are we not? Some of us are living as if we're going to stay here forever. When that's not true at all. That's not living by faith. God says, I want you to embrace my promises. They had faith in death. They had faith in life. And in conclusion, they had faith that pleased God. Notice with me verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What country were they seeking after? It wasn't the country they came out of. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, verse 15, they might have had an opportunity to return. What's God saying? He's saying that they could have just gone back to where they started if they wanted to. Abraham could have packed up his tent and just gone back to the city. He could have. But he chose to live by faith. He didn't turn back to the world. He didn't go back to the life he was saved from. Is that right? No, he went forward. He didn't get saved and live like the devil. He didn't get saved and live like the world. Yes, it's possible for you and I as a Christian who is saved, who is born again, to live a life of quenching the Spirit of God, grieving God's Holy Spirit, and living in the world. Yes, it's possible. these ones did not return. They did not return to the world. They were pressing forward by faith. Notice verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Notice next. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. What a statement. Amen. God is not ashamed to be called their God. In conclusion, God was pleased with their faith. They died in faith. They lived by faith. And their faith pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And the challenge for you and I this morning, is our life pleasing God? Or is He ashamed of our worldliness? Is He ashamed of our lack of commitment to God? Is He ashamed of our lack of dedication to God? Is He ashamed that you and I wake up every morning and we look down? We look down at the world's appetites. We look down at the world's lusts. We look down at the world's entertainment. We look down at the world's pressure. And we live for the world and we don't live for God. We don't look up. We don't seek a city. We don't live for heaven. Is He ashamed? I believe He is when we're living for the world. But thank God He is a God of forgiveness. Thank God He works in our lives to lead us on in the life of faith. Thank God He is merciful, not only to save, but to bring us forward to live by faith. Church family, let me encourage you to be a Christian that lives by faith. How? Embrace the promises of God. How? See yourself as who we really are, pilgrims and strangers. How do we live? By the promises of God, not by the pressures of the world, not by the expectations of the world, by His precious promises. Will you allow Him to persuade you this week? Promises that He wants to give you this week for your family. Promises He wants to give you this week regarding your relationship with Him, His forgiveness. Maybe this morning you need to come clean to the Lord about living for the world. Maybe it's time to come back to Him and start living by faith once again.